yesterday morning, my wife and I arrived here for the meeting and the service, and I thought, wait a minute. They didn't say they had a theme, but it seemed like several of the brethren before me kind of were thinking along the same lines. And so anyway, I hope and trust that the things that I say this morning will be a benefit to you. And edifying. You know, while he was here on the earth, Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, he oftentimes used parables and metaphors to convey his message. In fact, one source that I read recently says he used over 100 metaphors and 36 parables in the gospel to convey his message. Now, the majority of us, I'm sure, realize and we know what a metaphor is. A metaphor is simply an illustration that the Lord used using common everyday situations and applied them to spiritual applications. And hopefully this morning that's what I intend to do. A little bit of a modern day interpretation based upon a passage of Scripture. Dwight Lyman Moody lived from February 1837 to December 1899. And he was also known as D.L. Moody. He was an American evangelist and publisher. At one of D.L. Moody's meetings in America, he related the story of a shipwreck on a dark and tempestuous night when not even a star was visible. Let me get this thing going. A ship was approaching the harbor of Cleveland with a pilot aboard, the captain noticing only one light as they drew near, that from the lighthouse. He asked the pilot if he was quite sure that it was the Cleveland Harbor, as the other lights should have been burning at the harbor mouth. The pilot replied that he was quite sure, whereupon the captain inquired, "Where are the lower lights?" "Gone out, sir," replied the pilot. "Can you make the harbor then?" asked the captain, to which the pilot answered, "We must, sir, or perish." Bravely, the old man steered the vessel upon her course towards safety, but alas, in the darkness of the harbor mouth, he missed the channel. The ship struck upon many rocks, and in the stormy waters, many lives were lost. And then Moody made his appeal to his audience. "Brothers, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning." Among Moody's hearers that evening was Mr. Philip P. Bliss, the well-known hymn writer, and the striking story at once suggested to him one of his most popular hymns. You'll recognize it. I checked to see if it was in this book, but it's not. "Let the lower lights be burning. From the lighthouse evermore, let the brightly beam of our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin is settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are waiting, are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor. In the distance, darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save." As I mentioned at the outset, we'd like to make a modern day application of one of the metaphors that the Lord used. You know, when you stop and think about it, the church's mission is the same as that lighthouse. The world outside the church is a dark and dangerous place. People are sailing through life in dangerous waters, and the devil is constantly throwing new obstacles in their paths. Have you ever been cruising through life feeling as though you're on top of the world, and then suddenly you hit a snag? Sickness, disease, loss of job, troubles in the home, and it felt like your life was in shambles? Those are some of the shifting sandbars of life. The devil's purpose is to steal our victory, destroy our life, and sink our ship into the pits of hell. Thanks be to God, there is a lighthouse for this dark and dangerous world. God has put a lighthouse in the darkness that projects light onto the seas of life. The church in your hometown or your community, or as Brother Roy has mentioned already this morning about the young man who went by asking if we were going to be preaching here. This assembly, this gospel meeting, is a lighthouse in this community. It has been for years. That is a symbol for a lighthouse with a bright light to shine forth to the people that live there. The purpose of the church is to project the light of the gospel and to save souls from being destroyed on the rocks of sin. But I wonder sometimes if the church in general has forgotten its real purpose for existence. For instance, all too often we see in the denominations that they believe that the purpose of religion is to supply the emotional, physical, and material needs of mankind. But is that really the purpose of the church? Many today think that the purpose of Christianity is to give shelter to the homeless, or food to the starving, or improving the conditions of third world nations, or counseling dysfunctional families, or working to correct abuse, comforting and aiding the sick. All of those things are well and good, and they are worthwhile causes, but doing those things is not what the church is about. Also, there are many today, even of the Lord's church, that feel that the purpose is just to have fellowship with one another, or to come together for worship. There again, we see the physical side coming into play and not the spiritual. Jesus, however, taught that the soul is more important than the body on numerous occasions. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Again, in Matthew 16 and 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then, the Master also taught that eternity is vastly more important than time, so that our focus should be on things eternal, not on things of the world. In Matthew 6, verse 19 and 23, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" If there is any doubt, then ask yourself this question. Who is better off? Lazarus, a poor man in heaven, or the rich man in hell? You know, the church's purpose is clearly revealed in the words of two well-known songs. "Send the Light" by Gabriel, or Charles H. Gabriel, and "Rescue the Perishing" by Fanny J. Crosby. We send out the light to evangelistic efforts in this country and abroad by preaching the gospel. We rescue the perishing by throwing in the only real life preserver that matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over the years, lighthouses have stood vigil by the ocean. They bid farewell to departing vessels and greet those who return. Year in and year out, they stand watch, giving direction and safety to the ships. In the bygone eras, lighthouse keepers were indispensable to the safety of seagoing vessels. They and their families were sometimes the only assistance some seamen would have. In the mid-19th century, Abby Burgess did a remarkable feat as a young 16-year-old daughter of lighthouse keeper Samuel Burgess. Her father was given the position of tending the twin lighthouse towers at the Mattakinas Rock Lighthouse in Maine. In January of 1856, Mrs. Burgess became an invalid. So Mr. Burgess decided to go to shore for medicine and other needed supplies. In order to go, he had to entrust his oldest daughter with the important role of keeping the lighthouses in his absence. As he pushed away in his rowboat, he called to his daughter and said, "Keep the lights burning, Abby." Now, lighthouse keeping was no easy task, you know, on good days. The lights had to be maintained, the wicks had to be trimmed, the lanes had to be kept clean of oats and spray, the keeper had to carry heavy buckets of oil up the stairs to burn the lights. For Abby, not only was there work in the lighthouse, but she would have to take care of her family and the animals on their land, on their island. It gets even more difficult. For about 4 weeks, Abby's father was unable to return to the island, the lighthouses, and his family. Supplies on the island ran dangerously low. Abby's mother drifted in and out of consciousness as the storm raged. Their living quarters flooded, and the family had to seek higher ground and moved into one of the lighthouses. And yet all through the storm, day and night, the lighthouse beams could be seen. If any ship was caught in the storm, they would be warned of dangerous rocks and reefs. The tower's patterned flashes would identify their location. And for those weeks, Abby kept the lights burning. You know, one has to be impressed with the grit of that 16-year-old girl and her commitment to the task before her. But that ultimately leads us to Jesus and the task before Him, which He passed on to us. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we read where John the Baptist was called to preach the coming of the true light that lights the heart of every man. But then Jesus gave us some insight as to who would be used to broadcast or reflect His pure light to all the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through verse 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Back to the illustration. The church is a powerful lighthouse. The light in the Cape Hatteras lighthouse is made extremely powerful and bright through the use of prisms that focus the light as it reflects from mirrors to a simple point or beam that is then projected through the darkness. Originally, it was whale oil that burned and produced the light. Then it was gas vapor that was used for a while, and then came the invention of electricity. There were several 1,000 watt bulbs installed that produced the light of 800,000 candles. Suddenly, the light was much brighter and could be seen for 20 miles on a dark night. It flashed every 7.5 seconds. But the church has the brightest light of them all, because we have Jesus to shine forth in us and through us. In Revelation 22 and 16, John the Revelator says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church at Corinth, refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the light in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 4. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, talks about those who have been called out of darkness into marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, early we talked about the lighthouse keepers that by God ears for the physical lighthouse. As for the spiritual leaders, the church, we are the keepers of the flame. As this world grows darker, gets ever closer to the shores of eternal judgment, there is a greater need for the light of the gospel to shine. There are souls in the balance who will surely sink into the depths of hell if we fail to let our light shine. You know, most of the church world will complain and moan about the sinful condition of this world. But where is the light that they are supposed to shine? Because it is more productive to light one candle than to curse the darkness. You know, there came a time when the Cape Hatteras lighthouse was in danger. The constant wave action of the sea had eroded the shore to the point that many feared the lighthouse would collapse into the waters. Originally, it was 1,500 feet from the shore, but now the water was within 150 feet. The decision was made to save the lighthouse by moving it 2,900 feet southwest and 16 feet inland. In 1999, it was all in all the papers. The International Chimney Corporation of Brooklyn, New York did the moving. And their slogan is, if you can build it, we can move it if you have enough money. Well, the U.S. government spent $12.5 million to have that lighthouse moved. They jacked it up and built railroad tracks to the new location. People came from miles around and camped out to watch them move the lighthouse. But after a few days, most of those who watched were gone, because at a rate of only 2 to 3 feet per day, they all got bored and went home because they couldn't tell that it was even moving. When they moved the lighthouse, though, something happened. They changed its purpose. Now it is a park and a museum where people go to admire it, enjoy it, and learn, but it doesn't save anymore. Churches used to be the life-saving stations, but all too many of them have become little more than museums. People aren't being saved in them anymore. The congregations only come to ease their conscience or hear the teachers or to be entertained. You know, on the East Coast, all up and down the East Coast, are yacht clubs in every city. They started out as rescue stations, but through the years, they found that it was more fun to socialize than to rescue. They forgot their purpose. Sadly, it appears that in some places the church has done the same. It no longer provides the guiding light of the gospel. It has forgotten its main purpose. In closing, church, we cannot afford to let the gospel light die. Jesus is the only hope that this world has. There is no other light. There is no other keeper of the flame. Jesus called you and I to be the lighthouse keepers. We are to be the witnesses of His love, mercy, and grace. We have to tell the world about the Savior. We are their only hope. And therefore, let's never lose sight of our purpose. Let's ever keep our eyes on our real mission, and that is to let the light shine. This morning, we do not like to close the service or this lesson without extending to any and all who might be subject to the gospel call. We never know the minds and hearts of those who are present. If there is here one here this morning who is not a Christian, desires to have their sins forgiven, desires to live in heaven, has been taught to us throughout the course of this meeting, we invite you to come forward believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one who has been the focus of these lessons today. Believe that He is the Son of God. Confess your sin before Christ, or confess your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, be baptized for the remission of sins. But if you're here this morning, your light is dim, but not shining like it once was. Perhaps you made things and mistakes. You need to make wrongs right. We invite you to come also. It'll be one of the other class as we stand and sing the song of selection.